This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Jason Staples. You can find me on Twitter at Doc Staples. Don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes or your podcast manager of choice. You can also listen to this podcast on Seminole Sports Radio from VSporto and listen on your mobile devices via the Seminole Sports Radio app, available on iTunes or the iTunes Marketplace or on the Android Marketplace. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please rate us on iTunes. Tell a friend. Definitely helps us out. You know, the higher we move up in the rankings, the more listeners we have, and the more we can do. Also, before we get started, for some of you out there, this will be more interesting than others. But in honor of Holy Week, I mean, we are recording on Maundy Thursday. Some of you may be interested. My sister is a recording artist and has released six free songs available in honor of Holy Week and Easter, available for download for those of you who celebrate such things. Anyway, those songs are available at her website, stephaniestaples.com, stephaniestaples.com. There are six free downloadable songs for the celebration of Holy Week and Easter. So go ahead if you're interested in that kind of music and that kind of if you're of that particular persuasion, I highly recommend going and downloading those songs. My particular favorite is the song As I Anoint You. That's the one that if I had my choice of all six, which you don't. You can choose all six, but that would be the first one that I'd listen to. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. There's quite a bit to talk about at this point. At the end of the second week, really, it's sort of had a half week the first week, but the second week of spring practice, we've heard quite a bit, and we're going to go ahead and get to it. I'm going to be joined by Wayne McGahey III from NoleDigest.com. Going to go ahead and talk plenty about what's going on, some of the things that we've heard and seen from Florida State so far in spring practice, and then we'll talk just a little bit about Florida State basketball at the end. So let's go ahead and get right to it. Joined now by Wayne McGahey III, Trey McGahey from NoleDigest.com. He's been at every Florida State practice that we can be at, and he's got lots to share with us. I've got a few things I've been hearing from what's going on inside those walls where Florida State has been practicing. A lot of interesting stuff this spring. Let's go ahead and get right to it. First things first, we've had some really interesting position changes. One that initially, you know, you and I were both a little skeptical about, but it took us maybe a day or two to kind of think through it and go, you know, this could actually really work. And so far, the Rick Leonard to offensive line experiment looks like it may pay some dividends.
Absolutely. He's been, I mean, he was very athletic. You know, we knew that coming in. He played lacrosse as a senior in high school at 6'7", 270 pounds. I mean, he moves very well, and, it's really showing up on the offensive line where you've got a guy like Brock Rubel who's currently ahead of him, but is very stiff. They're about the same height, but, I mean, it's night and day when it comes to athleticism between Rubel and Leonard.
Well, and the thing is, you mentioned 270. Leonard is now 290. So, I mean, he's put on some weight, and he's apparently, showing with that athleticism, he's showing some real power through the hips and the ability to pack a punch in the running game, which I think maybe the most surprising thing. First of all, you mentioned that, you know, he's got a lot more bend than a guy like Rubel, which is true. But we've heard some good things about Rubel coming out of practice so far too. I mean, he's played well. He's gotten better. They feel like he's gotten stronger. And even if Leonard doesn't necessarily start in front of Rubel right now, it's not clear that Leonard might not start somewhere else. And that may be the most surprising thing about this move at this point. Because you and I both felt like Leonard was a guy that could potentially be a first round draft pick at offensive tackle because of the length, because of the bend and the feet, and you know, he played lacrosse and all of that. You got a guy that if he takes to the position could be a first rounder at that position. What you don't expect is what we've learned in the last day or two, which is
that Rick Leonard's playing center.
I never would have expected that from a guy that's 6'7".
No, I mean, absolutely not. But I mean, as you know, I mentioned earlier that that bend, his athleticism, he, I mean, he's just, for some, whatever reason, he seems to be a natural at it.
Well, I mean, and the thing, you know, again, it's one of those things I had to think about a little bit after hearing it. It's like, really? Because I some of the stuff I've heard is that he may be the best center in the team right now, which, I mean, to be honest, is a little bit of a low bar given the way that the Florida State center position has looked in recent years. Last 2 years, except for with the exception of the five or six games that Cam or Irving was at center, have not been really good at the center position. That's been a weak spot on the offensive line. But he may be the best center on the roster, and he's only played the position, you know, a few practices. And
not even full practices.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing. The crazy thing is he's played right tackle, both guards, and the center position as he's been cross-training across the offensive line so far in spring, which tells you this is a guy they want to start in 2016. It's just a matter of finding where he improves the offensive line the most. And quite honestly, it may well be at the center position, which, again, that may be the – it'll be hard to find anything that will surprise me more coming out of this spring than that. If Rick Leonard comes out of the spring favored to start at the center position, or if he winds up starting at center in 2016, that would be the most surprising thing coming out of the spring for me. But, you know, again, you don't expect a 6'7" guy to do that. But when I thought about it, you got a guy with bend. You got a guy who he can play low. He can get his hips down. He's got, you know, great natural bend for a guy with that size, so he can get the leverage. And, you know, the thing is, when you're taller, if you can get low and get up underneath people, your height actually gives you a little bit more leverage. So that can work. The other part about this is, and this is actually one of the reasons that the Florida State offensive line has been up and down the last couple of years, the center position is the most important position on the Rick Trickett offensive line because he asks a lot from his centers. He asks his centers not just to do a lot in terms of you know, calling the line and all of these other things, making sure that the checks are made and so on in terms of blocking schemes and all that and communicating. But he asks his offensive line, his center, to make a lot of reach blocks, which means that you'll have, say, a one technique a defensive tackle who's in the gap that you're trying to get to already. So you're having to actually step and you're having to overcome leverage that defensive lineman already has and reach that player and not let him get penetration into that gap. That's tough to do. You have to be both strong, and the real thing that you've got to be at the center position is you've got to be really quick to be able to snap and then step and then get that second step to have any power to keep that guy out of getting penetration in that gap. A lot of offensive line coaches just concede that their centers aren't going to be able to do that, and so they do a lot of combo blocking where you have the guard help with that block initially and then pass it off to the center as the center finally gets in position. Trickett prefers not to do that. He doesn't like to combo block. He feels like that takes away from the running, what he's able to do in the running game. Last year, you could see how much they didn't really feel comfortable with their centers because they combo blocked probably more than I've ever seen a Rick Trickett offensive line. But the thing that a guy like Leonard brings to the table is with those lacrosse feet, he can potentially make that reach block. And the other thing is with that 6'7" reach, with that frame, he potentially can get into that gap and prevent penetration just by the combination of his quickness and length. And that may be what ends up happening there. So I'm really curious to see what happens at that spot. Now, as for the other centers, you've heard that it's not actually been so far Alec Eberle that has been the best in practice, but actually Corey Martinez. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, Martinez is a guy that, you know, he started last year. I believe he started the first 2 to 3 games before Ryan Hofeld came in, and then finally Eberle took over. And Eberle was actually fairly decent at center last year. He wasn't great, but it wasn't, you know, Austin Barron, which is just rock bottom. But but when it, you know, I mean, Martinez is he's doing very well. But the issue is that you're, I mean, right now it's kind of like the tallest midget. They're getting destroyed by the Florida State defensive tackles.
And the one guy that hasn't gotten destroyed?
Yeah, Rick Leonard.
Rick Leonard.
But, I mean, we've only, you know, he hasn't played it, you know, that much. He's just been rotating, you know, learning. So, but it's interesting, you know, to see if he can actually take the job, because that would definitely be best case scenario for Florida State. Because right now, while Martinez is playing better, it's deficit.
It's still a weakness relative to the rest of the offensive line. And I think you and I had previously, you know, coming out of last year, we'd hoped that maybe, you know, Cole Minshew would have been a guy that could have moved to center and maybe challenged for that job because of his power. But, you know, watching him during fourth quarter drills, I think both of us came to the conclusion that there was a good reason why he wasn't at center. I just didn't think he had, you know, again, it has to do with the ability to, the center in Rick Trickett's offense has to be quick. You've got to have quick feet. You've got to have quick enough feet to make that reach block. And it's, you know, centers have to be real athletes in Trickett's offense. And while Minshew is a mauler and he is a nasty individual, I just don't think he's quick enough based on what I saw in fourth quarter drills to play the center position. But again, I think you especially are hoping that maybe he pulls one of the guard positions.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a fan of Wilson Bell. I think he's stiff. He's slow off the ball, and he is a penalty machine. He led the team in penalties last year. And I absolutely love Cole's game. If he can stay healthy, he did have two concussions last year, which, you know, are concerning.
Yeah.
But he has the ability, the mentality, just the overall nastiness to be an elite guard.
And the thing is, if you're able to get, you know, best case scenario is Rick Leonard takes the center position to everyone's surprise and winds up being a guy that can make those reach blocks, then you can put a masher like Cole Minshew next to him. And just basically let him turn him loose against your three techniques and your linebackers, and really let him. I'm going to say bust shoulders. I'm not going to say bump heads, because we don't want him bumping heads with too many people with those concussions. But to really maul next to that kind of center player.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's no bigger fan of Cole than I am. Except for maybe Rick Trickett.
Rick loves guys like that who are nasty. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens up front. The good thing is that they've got nine guys right now that are on the field that they feel like can actually be pretty good offensive line players at this point. And you got, you know, still Derek Kelly and Abdul Bello, who are out. Now Bello's been in pads and has been doing some stuff, but you know, those guys are going to be back as well. So it's going to be,
and Kelly's pretty much going to lock down that right tackle spot.
Yeah.
Rubel's, you know, been a placeholder, but they love what Kelly brings to the table there. And before his injury, he was playing very well.
Well, I love me some Derek Kelly. He was one of my favorites, if not my favorite, he might've been my favorite offensive line recruit in his class. You remember that going all the way back there. I've liked Kelly ever since they signed him. So, you know, it could be, you know, just projecting out best case scenario, next year's starting five on the offensive line could be Rod Johnson, Kareem R., who has still struggled a little more than I think we expected at this point in his career. Rick Leonard at center is a real possibility at this point. But, you know, let's say best case scenario, Leonard at center, Cole Minshew at right guard, and Derek Kelly at right tackle. That's a very different kind of offensive line group than what they had last year. And really, Leonard is the only unknown there, and he's the best athlete of the group. So that would be a very athletic and very nasty offensive line.
Absolutely. It would definitely it'd definitely get the job done. There's a lot of size there, and there's a lot of athleticism. I mean, the weakest link on that line would be Kareem R. at left guard, which is –
pretty good, pretty good weak link, because he was, I mean, coming into this year, into the 2015 season, he was one of the two guys you felt most comfortable about. And so if you feel like he's the weakest link going into next year, that says something. So let's go ahead and transition then. There's another big, you know, big news position change that we haven't talked about so far in this podcast, haven't recorded since it happened. And that's Ryan Green going from cornerback to running back, which says a little bit about both positions, right? I mean, the cornerback position, so far, both of us have heard looks pretty darn good in practice. This, there's some buzz right now, but I think both of us have heard that this may well be the best and deepest group of defensive backs Florida State has had, at least under Jimbo Fisher. And you remember that 2013 secondary was one of the best in college football history. So they, and yeah, they're feeling, I mean, like this one can be like that one and maybe better. So what that means is you can that Ryan Green, as good as he was, and he's a guy that would have played at corner, even with this group, he's expendable. He can move to running back, and he's about a 205-pound back at this point. I mean, he's put on a little bit of weight even when he was playing at corner. It's 205 pounds, and he is explosive, and you've gotten the chance to see a little bit of him, and we've definitely heard some things. So why don't you fill us in a little bit on what you've seen and heard here?
He's definitely he looks good. You know, I was a little bit skeptical when he moved over, but he's you know, he's made a name for himself. He's got himself in the rotation. He will play this year as long as he, you know, stays healthy, which has been an issue for
knock on something.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been an issue for the running back position with Mario Pender, which is, you know, we don't know what you're getting out of Pender. I mean, at this point, getting anything out of Pender would be, you know, more than we've gotten from him ever. So
yeah, and the same is true about Green so far. I mean, both guys have been totally snake bitten. And I guess if you have both of them there in that spot at running back, then maybe you're hoping one of them stays healthy.
The interesting thing is that they both wear the same number.
Right, that's going to have to change.
They're both seniors.
Yeah, that's going to change. Although, no, well, Ryan Green is technically, I mean,
he's
a redshirt junior.
He's a redshirt junior.
Yeah, they've listed him as a senior, but he's a true senior who didn't play last year, which means he's a redshirt junior. Florida State, any of you in the SID office who are listening to this, you might want to change that on the roster. Just saying, you guys forgot to get that right. And Pender could theoretically get another year, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think that needs to happen because, again, he needs to either move on or, you know, if he's going to stay healthy, he needs to move on to other pastures, try to either make him, you know, make a mark at the next level or, you know, go pro in something other than professional sports. So, but Green, I think has the interesting thing is pairing him with Dalvin Cook because he does bring so much explosiveness to the position when he's healthy. I mean, he's a guy that people forget if you line up the spark scores, you know, the Nike, test of explosiveness versus, you know, body size and so on that they use for the opening calculations and things. Ryan Green, I think if you lined up all the players on this team, Ryan Green has like the fourth best spark score, which tells you how explosive he is. I mean, he's a guy that I think has been kind of forgotten because of the injuries, but he brings some explosiveness to the table. And the other thing is he's a really good wide receiver, really good natural catcher of the football out of the backfield. So, you know, that offers them the ability to do some things with Cook that, you know, they need to be able to do. And that was a big emphasis coming into this spring. Everybody looks at the quarterback position and a lot of other things. One of the big emphases for this spring for the coaching staff was finding enough depth at the running back position that they could comfortably take away some of the carries from Dalvin Cook next year to make sure that he stays healthy all year. And that's why this move for Green is so important. You can have another explosive option in the backfield, so you don't have to give Dalvin Cook 30 carries against USF. You can give Jaquez Patrick and Ryan Green 15 or 20 of those carries so that Dalvin Cook can carry it 22, 23 times against Florida and Miami and North Carolina and Clemson. So, you know, that's really what they're looking for here.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we talked a lot about Green, but I just wanted to, you know, bring up what I've seen from Patrick. You know, he's been there's been a lot of questions about his running ability. You know, he runs too high. He runs like a 200-pound back rather than a 230-pound back. And we're starting to see that change.
Yeah, I don't know if it's ever been about ability as so much as whether he's actually going to transfer that ability onto the field.
Yeah, it's just ability was the wrong word. His running style had to change.
Yeah.
Because in high school, he was, you know, a 230-pound guy that, you know, was juking people and, you know, playing like a 200-pound back. But, you know, at this level, that's not going to fly. So he's starting to use his body better and he's learning to run more with his, where his pad level needs to be. So it's going to be very interesting to see who actually gets the short yardage carries for Florida State this year, because that was a major, major issue last year. I mean, Florida State, is in really good position to win at Clemson.
And they couldn't get it done in short yardage.
If they get 1 yard on two plays.
Yep.
1 yard on two plays, and Florida State maybe wins at Clemson.
Yep.
So,
And that's why they're spending so much time on that interior offensive line and at that running back position, because they know things are going to come down to that sort of thing again this year, and they don't want to be in a position where they can't do that this year.
Absolutely. And if Patrick starts running at the pad level that he needs to, and
problem solved.
Yes, problem solved. So it's pretty imperative that he does that, because you don't want Dalvin Cook, doing that, 10 times a game.
No. Cook is a good short yardage runner, but he's not the guy that you want to be taking that kind of beating. And certainly if you can get a better short yardage runner to take some of that beating, that's ideal, because what you want from Cook is to use his explosiveness and to keep him fresh and healthy to be the weapon that he can be otherwise. So, there's a lot more to talk about. We'll talk more about this as we find out more over the course of the spring. One maybe disappointing thing so far, the wide receiver group still hasn't really stepped up. Travis Rudolph has looked excellent from what we've gathered. Kermit Whitfield has looked excellent. I mean, he was very good last year. Those guys are going to be very good players this year. You're going to get some explosiveness, but they really need a third and fourth guy to step up, particularly one of the big guys. And we're still waiting just a little bit for that. Some positive things have been said about Auden Tate, but you'd hope for some of the other guys to step in, and Harrison needs to stay healthy.
Yeah. Whitfield has looked good at times so far this spring, but he needs to do it consistently, which was an issue for him last year. I believe 48% of his yards came from three games. So there needs to be consistency there, and Whitfield needs to be a little more consistent. I mean, we all know about how electric he is.
Just ask Auburn.
Yeah. So we know how electric he is. He just needs to be a little bit more consistent in his route running. You talked about Pig. Jimbo Fisher was absolutely raving about Javon Harrison and what he was doing before he suffered a turf toe injury and is likely out for the remainder of the spring.
Sucks. Because, he is a guy that could be that third guy with some size, 6'2 plus, and, 210 plus. Gives you some nice size on the edge there and is explosive.
Yeah.
But danged if the guy can't stay healthy. Same problem with Devontae Phillips. He can't stay healthy. I mean, good Lord, guys. Can't blame him for getting hurt, but it's just frustrating because some of these guys have so much talent and explosiveness, and that position group has not been able to stay healthy. And then you got George Campbell.
Yeah. The knock on Campbell when he got here was that he fights the football when he goes to catch, and he's not consistent. Well, what do you know? He's fighting the football and not being consistent.
Yeah, and he's going to have to be more physical to get open against coverage. I mean, that's the thing you've got to be able to do at this level. And, you got to be in the right spots, and you got to catch the football. I mean, that's, Jimbo Fisher talks about that with wide receivers. Ultimately, your job is two things, to, run specific routes and catch the football. If you can't do one of those two things, you can't play wide receiver. So, if you can't do both of them. That's a little disappointing at this point. And, because he's a guy that can offer so much in the big player arena. There's a lot of time left in the spring, and hopefully, you continue to see some development there. Tate is a guy that, there's been some positive buzz about here and there. But again, nothing really that a guy has completely stepped forward and seize the reins there. The quarterbacks, on the other hand, the two young guys, Francois and Henry, from what we were told, I think both of us more or less heard the same thing. Henry actually sort of had the edge initially, even though he had no clue really what he's doing. You know, he doesn't really understand everything. He's a guy, you know, he's got a little Jameis in him. He just goes out there and cuts it loose. And in Jimbo's offense, if you've got a guy who does that, who's confident enough to make quick reads and just turn it loose, you can put up some filthy numbers. And Henry has a little bit of that in him where, you know, he's willing to just go out and turn it loose. And initially, you know, he kind of has had the, you know, so far we've heard that he's more or less been maybe the most impressive guy overall in practice. Although I think this week, DeAndre Francois has been less tentative. He started out more tentative last week, and he's gotten less tentative over the course of this week. And you're starting to see some real improvement from both guys. And of course, Francois, if he starts putting the ball in the right spot, there's no questioning the arm. So be interesting to see what happens with these young guys and where they are by the time we get to actually see them in the spring game. Of course, the receivers need to help them out a little bit, but it's interesting to hear a little bit about their development.
Yeah, you know, we know that those two guys have the most ability of any of the quarterbacks on the roster. And it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out with Sean McGuire's experience and, you know, J.J. Cosentino transferring.
It's a little premature there yet. Yeah.
I was expecting, you know, I thought we were 2 months from now after graduation.
Yeah, and the question is, you know, whether Cosentino is actually going to transfer. I mean, the thing I think we both know is that he's not going to be the starter.
No, and I mean, it's he never panned out. He had the ability, but it just didn't work out for him.
He hasn't transferred to the field at this point, and you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So, just moving on without talking about him too much. You've got Henry and Francois, both who have all the ability. And like you said, you know, Henry has a little Jameis in him. We knew that coming in. He has the attitude, he has the ego, and he truly believes that he can put the ball anywhere.
He's not always right about that, neither was Jameis, but it doesn't hurt to have that confidence.
Nope. But he's just going to let it rip, and he's going to believe that, I mean, you know, you don't want a guy throwing into triple coverage, but, you know, so you might get that sometimes. But he believes that he can put the ball right between all three of them. And sometimes he's right and sometimes he's not. But he definitely has the ability to do that.
And then the other thing is that, I mean, and it's not like the guy's been throwing into triple coverage a bunch. I mean, he's completed a lot.
Obviously.
You know, he's done well in practice because he's, you know, what's happening is he's making quick reads and he's just getting the ball out quickly. And that helps, you know, and getting it out on time. So, you know, and that's what you really need to do in the Fisher offense to be successful. Let's go blast through a little bit on the defensive side. We'll spend a little more on the defensive side in the next podcast where we talk a little bit. I think maybe the biggest news is that the linebacker position looks like it's not going to be a weakness. You know,
yeah.
they're actually, buzz I've heard is that they're pretty pleased with what they've got at the linebacker position.
Yeah. Turns out Jimbo Fisher was right.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how that happens. Wasn't worried about the linebackers, and, you know, so far the linebackers are proving him right. Matthew Thomas has been very, very good. I mean, there's a reason that he was a five-star linebacker coming out, and he's showing that ability. It's just keeping him on the field.
Yeah, he's a guy, he was not just a five-star. You're talking about a guy who this year could be one of the, he could be an All-American this year from what I've heard at least.
Yeah, and he's been, I mean, he has the athletic ability to be, you know, one of those types of players. And it's just keeping him on the field. So if he can go and manage to stay, you know, to stay on the field, I mean, we all know that he's been suspended for, what, 18, 19 games?
Yeah.
Over the course of his career. So it's, I mean, you just got to, I mean, it is what it is. If he's on the field, he makes the Florida State linebackers better, and right now that's what's happening. He's starting opposite of Hoskins, who was very good last year. And then, you know, my boy,
Josh Brown.
Josh has been the real deal.
Yeah, and the thing is, Josh Brown may wind up getting starters minutes at times this year, partly because, again, Hoskins and Thomas, there's some similarity to them in that Thomas is a little more, he's a lot more fluid. I mean, Thomas is a guy that, you know, he's almost, you know, he can cover almost like a safety, but he's a full-size grown man linebacker too. Hoskins is not quite as much of a coverage guy. And you know, I think what they'll probably do at different points, what it's starting to sound like, is Brown is a guy that might be on the field, especially toward the second half of the year when they're against spread teams on first down and this sort of thing. You might see Brown out there because of his fluidity and his ability to move around and his sort of nose for the football. He actually might start stealing some minutes from a guy like Hoskins, who's a good player. That's how good Brown has looked so far.
The thing we have to understand about Brown is that he understands the game of football probably better than 95% of
smart
the players
kid.
On Florida State roster.
Yeah, smart,
he grew
smart
up
kid.
Around it. Yes, he was a coach's son. I mean, he lived, breathed, slept, ate all of the, you know, cliches that you could say about it, football.
And where is that more important than at linebacker, where you know so much of it is understanding your keys and making quick judgments and getting into the right spots. I mean, it's so important there. Smart linebackers can make a huge difference, and he is that.
Absolutely. So we're still not seeing much from Delvin Purefoy, you know, just moving on.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, he might be a guy that ends up medically DQ'd, which is, you know, disappointing because he did have some ability coming out of high school. It's
a lot
just,
of ability.
You know, that ankle injury is no joke.
Yeah, it was a devastating injury. It really was. The defensive line has looked very good. Everybody's excited about Sweat. Everybody, you know, obviously Walker's back. Haven't heard much about Torres yet. I've got to, you know, sort of find out a little bit more about what's going on there. You know, been some little bit of positive stuff that's worked out, but haven't heard a whole lot of detail there. The place where we have heard some detail is that the defensive tackle group is maybe the deepest group on the team, which is saying a lot because the secondary looks awfully good.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a defensive tackle group that will be able to rotate 6 300-pounders. All of whom can play. And, you know, you got a chance to see a little bit of Wally Ime. And you know, we've heard some other things. The exploits of Wally Ime have started to leak out a little bit. The guy's apparently a monster. He's going to contribute day one, as they'd hoped. And, you know, with Christmas sort of being limited right now, he's getting first-team reps. And he's playing like it. He still, you know, sort of doesn't have an idea what he's supposed to do at times. But boy, the talent's there.
Yeah, he, he's been absolutely, he's been impressive to say the least. He's been dominating the interior offensive line. He looks very good. I, you know, named him as one of the, you know, players that was most likely to contribute from this recruiting class because obviously,
yeah,
he is a massive human being and
he moves.
You know, as a JUCO guy, you want him to step forward and be, you know, that type of instant impact type of player. And apparently he is. So I've been a big fan of his game from his recruiting days. And, you know, another guy that, you know, nobody expected anything of when he was signed, Fred Jones.
I did. Go back to the podcast. I argued with a lot of you that Fred, I saw the violent hands in high school. Don't let anybody tell you that nobody saw it coming because I actually got into an argument a little bit about this with Bud Elliott when they signed Fred Jones because he was, you know, he's never going to play at Florida State. And I said, listen, given the defensive tackle class next year, if he had been in the defensive tackle class the following year, so I guess the 2015 class, if he'd been in the 2015 class, he'd be a top 2 or 3 defensive tackle in the state of Florida because it was a weak class. So you go ahead and take him now because he's got the violent hands. He has the chance to grow. Well, you know, and there's some disagreement there. One person did see it. Dang it. Continue.
He's been rotating in with the first team. He's going to be part of the, you know, first four rotation. And
he's really developed.
Derek Nottie yesterday, and he said that Fred Jones has stepped up and been a real vocal leader for the defense, which is, you know.
It's a big deal.
It says something about his ability that the rest of the team is taking notice and listening to what he says.
Yeah, yeah. And another guy that we've heard very positive things about is actually one of the other early enrollees, and this is one of your boys, So I crowed about my boy. I liked Fred Jones coming out. I might have been the only one who liked Fred Jones coming out. But you loved you some Sed Wood. And Sed Wood, there's again some talks about his exploits, that the kid is an absolute load and may well get some snaps as a freshman in that six-man rotation. So, you know, some very positive things there.
Oh, yeah. I've watched Sed maybe 10, 15 times over the past 2 years, you know, since I started. And, every time I watch him, you know, watch him play, I just, you know, he's great. You know, he's consistently very good. He moves very well. I've seen him play at 310 and I've seen him play at 285. And while they were different types, he excelled at both. So whatever Florida State asks him to do, I feel very confident that he'll be able to do it. He's a smart kid, a very underrated coming out. That's mostly because he just didn't do anything. Like, he didn't go to any camps. He didn't do the opening. He
just
didn't
like
do
the
any
Marcus
of that.
Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, he committed to Florida State and then said, okay, I'm good. I'm just going to, you know, quietly
and
go to work.
And you think about this, you know, somebody might ask, well, why wouldn't you do those camps? They're expensive, man.
Yeah. I mean, the nearest opening camp to Tallahassee is in New Orleans.
Yeah, so, well, it's New Orleans and Atlanta.
Yeah, New Orleans, Atlanta, Orlando are all about the same. Yeah. You know, about the same distance. So, I mean, that's a 4 to 5 hour trip.
Well, New Orleans is a little further away. New Orleans is a good 8 hours. I've made that drive before. That's a good 8 hours, 8.5 hours if you're driving decent. So it's a little bit closer to Atlanta, but still, Atlanta's not close. Not for that.
It's at least a 4.5 hour trip. So
yeah,
and then you're not going to stay up. You know, it's on. They're usually on Sundays, so you're not going to sit there and go down.
If you already have the offer you need, you know, there's less to gain there to show out at those places. So that makes sense for some of these guys, like your DeMarcus Christmases and your Sed Woods, who, you know, they know that they want to go to Florida State. They've got that offer, and now they really don't need to do some of that. So it doesn't really cost them anything. But yeah, a lot of positives there. We'll talk a little bit more about the defensive backs in the next podcast. Just suffice it to say that they're really, really looking good. The corner positions look excellent. Both Marcus Lewis and Tavares McFadden have been getting some rotation at that boundary corner position, and they've been playing extremely well. Marquez White, obviously, is who he is. Got a lot of players there. What I want to do now, though, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up by talking Florida State hoops, just because I want to hear you. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your thoughts on the latest news coming out of Tallahassee on the hoop side.
Well, is this a family-friendly broadcast? Because
let's try to keep it PG-13.
Get a little tough.
Let's go PG-13 here.
Okay. I mean, you lost. Beasley and Bacon have both declared. Bacon has left it open the possibility of returning.
He's testing the waters, as they say.
Beasley,
which
is
wise.
Pretty much gone. He's stated that he's actively looking for an agent. I don't believe he's enrolled in school anymore.
Dang it!
So it's you just wave bye bye.
Dang
to,
it!
The best defender on the team.
The best player on the team.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely argue that. I thought that Malik Beasley would have a better year than Bacon,
and he did
just because of his contributions on the defensive end, and they're so close in points and rebounds. And
well, and he was, you know, and he was so, he was more efficient on the offensive end, even though they were close. So he was a better player.
Yeah,
you were right about that on this podcast. I might add, we could go back to that episode. You called it early in the year that Beasley would have the better year.
Yeah, I mean, I love Malik Beasley, and he's gone. Which, you know, I mean,
all gone.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to fault a kid for going and doing what's best.
But hey, they still got Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah. Next question.
That wasn't a question.
It should be.
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing that's really frustrating here is that, you know, we'd heard that that, you know, Bacon and Beasley had made it clear that that they planned to return if and only if Leonard Hamilton was renewed on his contract. And well, what do you know, after the season? Dang it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of people in the athletic department that are sitting there with egg on their face on this one. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's Florida State's going to be worse next year than they were this year.
Tell it like it is.
Yeah, I like Isaac. I think he is a phenomenal player, phenomenal talent. But let's not act like he's the all-world savior of the Florida State basketball program. A lot of people are comparing him to Durant. Don't.
No.
Don't.
There aren't. It's just like all the next LeBrons or the baby Jordans and all that. Well, no, there aren't other Durants right now.
He has the ability to be, I think, to be as good as Durant down the road. But he's a very, very, very raw prospect right now.
Yeah, and we're talking about, like, you know, what percentage chance that he becomes a Durant down the road. I mean,
I think that it's, you know,
Durant's filthy, man.
He's going to be a very good, I mean, he's going to be a franchise player for somebody in the NBA in 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be a franchise player for Florida State next year.
Yeah, but not everybody, I mean, the thing is, not all franchise players are the Slim Reaper either. So, I mean, that guy, yeah, that's unfair. But yeah, I mean, he's a good player. But again, like you said, he's still got a long way to go on the defensive side of the ball in particular. He's got a lot of weight to gain. You know,
he makes Dwayne Bacon look really, really good on the defensive end of the ball.
Yeah, and really he makes the Slim Reaper look thick. So, you know,
yeah.
Anyway, not going to be quite as good next year. But the ACC is not going to be quite as good next year because it's not going to be as senior laden a conference as it was this year. So that may compensate a little bit. But yeah, but very disappointing. I mean, if you had Beasley and Bacon back together with Isaac next year, you need to have a chance to be, you know, a pretty good team. And
I mean, you're still going to have issue at the five and at the one.
Yeah, but still, you could, you know, you're going to score enough points and be dangerous.
You could run the offense through those three and then just try and outscore everybody, you know, in the 90s to 100.
But it ain't happening. Oh, no. Well. But hey, you know, this is the put up or shut up year for Leonard Hamilton. And, you know, I don't see him coaching at Florida State probably beyond this year, but even if they put up a good season this next year, I don't see him there much longer. I mean, he's getting a little bit older, and it's about time. The most important thing is for them to finish the facilities upgrades that they need to finish to make that job just a little bit more appealing to the next guy, so they can hire a younger and up and coming kind of coach that can take the program to the next level. It'll be interesting to see who they're able to get. But yeah, obviously a little bit frustrating with those guys going. You can't fault them for going. I mean, Beasley's a heck of a player, and you know, if I were Bacon, I'd test the waters too. But anyway.
Absolutely, and the combine situation that Bacon's going to walk into is made for a guy with his ability. So yeah.
The questions with him are more shooting and some of these other things that, you know, he's got to polish up.
Don't be surprised if he
and
just,
defense.
Yeah, if he just walks in there, blows the doors down and ends up, you know, a late lottery pick, you know, mid range first rounder.
Yeah,
just
we'll find
because
out
of his athletic ability and showing off. So
yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Now, before we get out of here, just a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can follow Wayne at Wayne McGahee III. And, of course, Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. And make sure to catch our additional coverage. Plenty of stuff going on over at NoleDigest.com. Wayne and I have been adding plenty of stuff on the premium boards there, and some coverage as well through the front page stuff. Definitely check out our stuff over there, and make sure to check out our next podcast, which will cover some of the things we didn't talk about in this podcast. There's plenty more, and there's going to be some other things that we're going to hear over the next few practices as well that we're going to stay up to date on. So definitely stick with us over the course of the spring. We're not going to waste your time with you know, daily podcasts, but whenever there's stuff to talk about, we're going to go ahead and put it out. So like I said, that's going to do it for us now. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a Vsporto channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.